Let's lift our hands together, shall we? All over the room, Jesus, we worship you in your own way. We honor you. We give you thanks for salvation, for your word that is true, forever settled in heaven. Hallelujah. How many testimonies do we have in this room? There was no way except for him. How many are thankful this morning? And let him know it all over the room. Jesus, it's so easy to get our eyes on what's happening right now, and we can get so unthankful so quick. I'm preaching to Lee this morning. But we're thankful today. How good you are, and how thankful we are. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. You may be seated after you greet at least one person you don't know and introduce yourself and be the friendliest church in town. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Do we have a microphone? Not for you. After your commentary, you want a mic? Somebody find this guy a mic. Oh, is it up here already? I'm sorry, Luke. Here it is, right here. Thank you, sir. No, we can fix that real quick. Thank you, Luke. Now, I'm preaching this morning.
Well, how many minutes do I have then?
So, 2.5 minutes.
2.5 minutes. Okay, we're counting down. I'd like to introduce a great friend of ours. This is Jesus Cabrera. Jesus and I first met in the late 1990s in Peru. He and I worked on missionary work down there doing lifts and pallets. This young man is a plastic surgeon who worked many, many missions with me. We did about 500-600 patients, no? Yeah, and I'd like to welcome him. Yesterday was my birthday, and he flew all the way from New York City for one day and to leave today to come celebrate my birthday. We went to the baseball game and we won. So God bless.
That is fantastic. And what was your name again?
Jesus.
Jesus?
Yes.
That quarter, if you let it find its place in your hands, and you close one eye, and you begin to draw it close to the remaining eye, that quarter will loom large and completely take over your vision. And that's how the devil works. He'll take the problems and he'll mess with your perception. He will magnify your struggle. He will magnify the evil report of the enemy. He will magnify your perceived lack. I'm so glad that he provides all of our needs. Are you here today? He will magnify those things. And the Christian who is functioning by the Spirit and inviting the wisdom of God, we probably won't have time to go to that scripture found in 1 Corinthians towards the latter part of that last part of that chapter. He's been made unto us wisdom. But if we are unwise and we're not making sure the Word of God is finding its place in our heart, the enemy will magnify everything that is negative. David got a hold of a truth beyond his time. He said, "Oh, come and magnify the Lord with me." Let's let him be magnified. Who he is. Adonai, El Shaddai, the God of plenty. Aren't you glad today for the God of plenty that makes your cup run over? So that's where he was at. So your testimony. He says, the more you talk about it, the more real it becomes to you. The less you talk about it, the less real. Listen to this very, very close. Faith is like love. Turn to your neighbor and bump them kind of hard. Wake them up if they're drifting. It is awful comfortable in here. And tell them faith. Come on, talk to them. Tell them faith. Talk to, not me, talk to them. Faith is like love. Faith is like love. It is of the heart of the new man, Amen. The Spirit. And like love, it lives and finds its joy. Listen, and like love, it lives and finds its joy in the continual confession of it. I love the story that Jesse Duplantis talks about in the series he was doing on the love of God and the way it ought to be expressed in the life of a believer. And he talked about a man who was losing his marriage, was in shock. Here's a guy in his 50s, has been married for, 30 plus years. He goes to where this guy is. They sit down and talk, and Jesse begins to kind of narrow down to where the guy is at. And after a while, it begins to dawn on him what's going on, and he asks him the question. He said, "Well, sir," he said, "how often do you tell your wife that you love her?" Guy kind of gave him a blank stare, and he said, "Well," he said, "when I married her, I told her I loved her, and I meant it." True story. He said, "I meant it. I don't need to keep saying it." How many know that that is a sure formula for destruction of a marriage? Aren't you glad that God is not that way with us? Romans 10:17 says this: faith comes, or in most of your cases, came. Faith to believe that Jesus is the Son of God unto salvation. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing, and of course, those of you that have been around any of this teaching for a while know that the Greek word there connotes a continual, forever, non-ending, continual hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And the Lord put it to me this way. He said, trust comes to us as the result of His continual affirmation to us of His love and promises to us because of His love. Let me know, the more I see how good He is and His great love for me, the more I see His great promises for me. No wonder the Word says that every promise in Him is yes and amen. Aren't you glad for the promises of God this morning? Amen. Amen. Faith is like love. It is the heart of the Spirit. And like love, it lives and finds its joy in the continual confession of it. How many of you wives in here love to hear your husbands tell you that they love you? How many of you husbands in here love to hear your wives come up and put their arms around you when you're feeling your lowest and tell you that they love you? A wise wife will do that. And husband. Amen. You doing all right? And it counts most when you feel it the least. The world says, be honest, which is hypocrisy. Because honesty can only be based on truth. And we have the truth of God's Word and His love. And love is not based on a feeling. Love truly, cliche as it may be, is based on a commitment to God first and to those with whom God has to do. I love the Psalms, where David speaks continually of a sacrifice of praise. A sacrifice. Right now, I want to curse and be angry and be frustrated and blame others and all kinds of stuff. But in this overwhelming temptation to revert to old systems, I'll lift my hands. You may have already been halfway there. Just stop. Remember who you are. The best way to repent is not to grovel and fall on your knees and feel bad the rest of the day. The best way to repent is just stop, turn around, and start doing the right thing. Lift our hands in the air and begin to do a sacrifice. Do a sacrifice of praise. Declaring truth regardless of feeling. The Bible says that is a sweet-smelling savor, a gift unto our God. In a marriage, the best thing you can do is speak. We doing all right? Yeah. See, faith like love finds its joy, faith now, finds its joy in the continual confession of it. In the natural, the more a husband and wife confess their love for each other, the more it grows. And if you'll notice carefully the life of Jesus, you'll find out that from the beginning of his public ministry until he was led to the cross, he is ever confessing who he is, what he is, and what his mission in life is all about. You see him saying it over and over. For who? They killed him for the stuff that he had to say. I think that fully 100% God, but yet fully 100% man, who did not suffer token temptations, but in all points, like as we, suffered temptation for our sake. That's how he qualified to be our high priest, the high priest of our confession. I hope you're getting this. There are so many levels right here. For instance, he said, I come forth from the Father and am come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. He hadn't done that yet. You think that was just easy because he knew where he came from? He was standing there as a man. He was aware of things by the Spirit. But as a man, these things. John declares that the Son of Man did some things by faith just like you and I. It wouldn't be fair if he was just, you know, a man with a Superman suit underneath. Uh-uh. He humbled himself, set aside his glory, Philippians 2 said, humbled himself, became a man like us, a servant, obedient unto the death of the cross. It was through his submission to a man's suit that he was given a name that is above every name that is named in heaven, in the earth, and under the earth. And here's the next part of that. His victory, as we've said it over and over again, is our victory. His name now is ours to use in life. Amen. He said, I came forth from the Father. His confession was there. It was a fourfold confession. It covers his life from the incarnation, his birth, till his ascension before many witnesses into heaven. One of the boldest confessions Jesus made was that when he said in John 14:9, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. What a bold confession. If you want to see the Father, look on me. In John 12, it is recorded that he said, he that seeth me seeth him that sent me, and I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. That ought to give you chill bumps. He was making bold declarations about who he was. How many know that the Word of God clearly says that we are to emulate, copy, pattern our lives after him? I lost a bunch of you. Jesus constantly confessed who he is, what he is, and his mission in life. Yes, someone might say, but that was Jesus. I know, and the Bible teaches that Jesus left us an example that we should follow in his steps. You should constantly be confessing who you are, what you have, what you can do through him. We were in Wednesday night a couple of weeks ago. We were just kind of going through some scriptures. Actually, before, I was just kind of drawing an example to kind of hammer home some truths that we were dealing with on Wednesday night. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Now, this is the old covenant, so keep it in context. Jesus had not come yet. He had not died yet. Salvation, as in the regeneration of the human heart by the Holy Spirit unto the new birth, a Son of God, had not happened yet. And yet here we see the Word of God, which supernaturally always points towards our salvation, points towards Messiah. In fact, read backwards as Jesus did on the road to Emmaus, he showed himself in the law and prophets and all the scripture. The Word of God declares that this Word is forever settled in heaven, that this Word is a light and a lamp for us, that this Word stands forever true. Amen. That's why the psalmist could say in Psalms 118, I will not die, but I will live and declare the works of God. He's talking about a confession. Okay, now look at this. Proverbs 3. My son, forget not my law. So in the new covenant now, some big changes have happened, and yet these truths remain ever so. Now the law has been changed to the Word of God. Jesus fulfilled the law, and in Him, our faith in Him, there is a complete fulfillment. So, right now in our relationship with Jesus, just listen to this in that context. He says, my son, forget not. You could put in there, my word. But let your heart keep my word. Look at verse 2. For length of days and long life and peace. What have you been duped into believing by the world system and bad news and good brothers and sisters who intend well but have bad thinking because it's not locked up in the Word? Here's what the Word says, length of days and long life. 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them. Look, this is interesting. You ought to underline this in your Bible. Write them upon the table of your heart. Of course, we know the fulfillment of the new covenant is that God said, no longer will my law. The new day is here. Jesus has made the way. No longer will I write on stone, but I will write on fleshy tables of the heart. That's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 4, look at the promise. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and men. We see this quoted in reference to Jesus. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. Has that become cliche to you? I pray that it is not cliche. This is the Word of God from eternity past, bold and true, saying to you, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own way of thinking. In all your ways acknowledge Him. Do you know that when I don't even know what to do, I can still acknowledge Him? And in the process of acknowledging Him, I find myself stumbling. I don't know about you, but I'm human. But somehow in the process of honoring Him, I find myself stumbling into the right path. So shalt thou find favor. How many are interested in favor? Not only with God, but with men. I've heard this so many times in my life. I don't know why I'm doing this, but here. I'm not kidding. Jackie, am I kidding? We had a guy one time pull up with a truck that was brand new. Used off the lot, but brand new from top to bottom. Put a key in our hands and say, I don't know why I'm doing this, but. Now, be careful, because people who are growing in the Lord can hear that and let covetousness crawl up on the inside of you and start hoping that somebody will give you something. Somebody didn't give me anything, and we weren't looking for anybody to give anything. What we were doing was honoring and trusting God and in a time of need, and that doesn't happen every time we needed a vehicle. But in that case, a man said, I don't know why I'm doing this, but. And I've heard the words since then come out of my mouth. I don't know why we're doing this, but. How many are glad for the favor of God that gives us favor with men? Praise the Lord. You ever had a doctor do that with you? I have. Never asked for a thing. Found out later, he'd been touched. Amber's whole birth, gone. Right? Gone. We have insurance. We'd come off the mission field just long enough to have Amber. We never asked a word. We never said a word. We never manipulated. We didn't play the little so-called faith game, make sure everybody knew our need. We never said a word. And a man who found out we were from the mission field said, how many are glad for favor? On your job, if you will serve as unto the Lord, God will cause you to have favor. But you know that all of this that we're talking about can be thwarted with words. You follow me? He says, trust in the Lord, verse 5, with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Listen, those of you naysayers and doubters, and I don't believe we've got any in here, but you never know. Look at what the Bible says. It shall be health to thy navel. Modern science tells us that the immune system operates primarily out of two main areas, and you medical people help me out. The digestive system and the marrow. There's no way they could have known that. No way. Our immune system is spoken to directly, saying, look, you can drink all the fresh squeeze, not from concentrate, orange juice you want in the world. You can take emergency until you turn orange or purple. You can eat all the right foods. You can go to a Bible plan of how to eat. You can forsake shellfish. You can do all kinds of stuff. And I'm not saying that any of that's bad. But if your trust is in your works versus the Word of God, he says, bind the Word of God. Write it on the table of your heart. And if you do so, you're going to have long life, length of days. It'll be health to your navel and to your what? Marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance. And with the first fruits of thine increase, speaking of giving to the things of God. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. And I find how that the minute he talks on finances, he instantly says, despise not the chastening of the Lord, and don't get mad. He knows right where the heart goes. That's another subject for another time. But look at the promises. Look at the promises. Now jump with me over to 4. Verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. I'd hear it all the time. But we believed, and nothing happened. We need to define believe. Because believe is not just a momentary mental assent to something you know that could or should be true, or that even you have. Belief of the heart happens as a result of meditating in God's Word, letting it tumble off your lips on a repeated basis until you begin to let the inside, the inner core of your belief system begin to be changed. I don't mean to brag on Jackie, but at that time, coming back from the mission field, when I was laying there with a compound fracture, my leg dangling off the wrong direction up behind me, and me roaring in pain, crawling from pain, not even knowing what was going on, I'm so glad that there was a word in her that came out as the result of meditation. Because that's code blue 3 times on the way to the hospital. 2 main arteries and main veins as big as your thumb, completely severed in 2. There's no way medically I should be alive. Can you say with me in here, but God? And I will tell that testimony over and over and over and over and over and over again, and so should you. Yours, not mine. I mean, if you want to, you can. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of the heart, for they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. Words. Health. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, I want to speak to something before we go, because we're just about out of time, and we'll pick up. Are you enjoying this? You ready for a little more next week?
Yes.
Me too. I love this. Because this is where the rubber meets the road in our belief system. There's a word that we hear a lot, and I've kind of passed over it a few times. But I want you to listen. How many are familiar with the word karma? Wikipedia. Wikipedia. I don't know when I started hearing this word, but I hear it a lot, and sadly enough, I hear it a lot with believers. Karma is associated with sowing and reaping. And we could take what I'm saying, this word on the confession of faith, and we could turn this right back into a legal system and a law, which is say good, say bad, get bad. Now, there is an element of truth to that, but just like our salvation and just like forgiveness of sins, it's not say good, get God good from God, say bad, get bad from God. How many know that God set a law in the universe that has never changed, and a perversion of it is transformed when we come into Jesus, called the law of sowing and reaping. We're not going to talk about giving. That's for another time. Later on, we're going to talk about sowing, what Jesus referenced as sowing of the word. Now, the word karma means action, work, or deed. It also refers to the spiritual principle of cause and effect, where intent and actions of an individual influence the future of that individual effect. Good intent and good deed contribute to karma and future happiness, while bad intent and bad deed contribute to bad karma and future offering. Karma is closely associated with the idea of rebirth in many schools of Indian religions. In these schools, karma in the present affects one's future in the current life, as well as the nature and quality of future lives. With origins in ancient India, karma is a key concept in Hinduism, Buddhism, Jainism, Sikhism, I can't even pronounce half of it, Taoism, and other world religions. And let me add, that are anti-Christ. Karma. The last thing that we want to do, our parting shot today, as we can move. How many are glad for the spoken word? How many are learning the power of our confession? But let's be careful we don't fall into say positive, get positive thinking. I'm trying to think of his name. Radio. Norman Vincent Peale. I think it's great to think positive and speak positive, but if you think that by your doing, you're going to change things, I'm sorry, it doesn't work like that. Karma is born out of world religions that are demonic, they're devilish in nature, and they are anti-Christ. Karma should not be found in the mouth of a believer, because it is a confession that my works give me certain results. My good works get me good things, and my bad works get me bad things. What comes around goes around. Karma. The kingdom of God is not so. And let me show you this very quickly, and then we'll amplify it next week. There's a huge difference between karma and the law of sowing and reaping. When we believe that by being positive and saying positive things and by much repetition, as was corrected and condemned in New Covenant scriptures. So don't confuse that with your confession of God's word. Jesus said this. He said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I'm not going to take the time today because we're out of time. We'll look at it next week. Mark chapter 4 says the sower sows the word. And it's speaking of Jesus himself sowing the word in reference to his own life and salvation that was come. And he identifies four different kinds of hearts. This is the sowing of God's word in the heart of men. Karma works like this. Do good, get good. Do bad, get bad. Say good, get good. Say bad, get bad. The kingdom of God works like this. Sow my word in your heart. And sow it and meditate and soak in it and bathe in it and murmur it and speak it until it begins a transformation that from out of the belly of your heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the abundance, in other words, there is a building of abundance, the kingdom of God within you being awakened, your allowing your mind to be transformed. When this begins to come out, the words that come out of you are born of, propelled by the very Spirit of God on His own Word found within the deepest recesses of your heart. And that will come out as a positive comment, positive behavior, sown and expressed regardless of what people do back. The Bible says that those who let this take place in their life we'll see good days. We'll have long life and length of days. We'll have life given to their belly and to the marrow of their bone. It will be health to all their flesh. They'll be blessed financially as they begin to accept what God's Word says. The renewing of the mind, the seeding of truths in the heart, producing confessions born of His Word. Many times they'll sound the same. The positive thinker will say, that's not who I am. I'm handsome and rich and able and strong. Beware when you think you stand, lest you fall. I get the Word of God on the inside of me. There's a boldness born of humility. There's an audacity born of the love of God, which says, if it wasn't for Him, there go I. But because of Him, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm above, according to Deuteronomy, above and not beneath. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm blessed going in and going out. No disease comes near my dwelling. And think boldness begins to come out of the inside of you. Not according to karma, God forbid, but according to a renewal of the heart of man with the Word of God that begins to prophesy and change our world. Say no to karma and say hello to seed time and harvest in Jesus. The confession, the admitting that God, you're right and I'm wrong. You were right all along. And I'm making a change. I'm repenting and I'm saying what you say about me. That's why that little buzz phrase that doesn't mean anything to us anymore, John knew it was true when he said, as he is, so are we in this world say, what? That's why John could stand at the foot of the cross without fear when the rest had fled. That's why John was the only one who knew who betrayed Jesus. That's why they couldn't kill him. He was the only one they couldn't kill. They tried and sent him to the Isle of Patmos. John had a revelation of the love of God. And the result of that was, you can't kill me. You can try, but God's not done with me yet. Let that speak to you today. Let that encourage your hearts. Let confession never be a forced, constrained, new covenant law. Let it be freedom flowing. Take effort to plant the word so that effortlessly His blessing resides. Would you just bow your heads right where you're seated today? Father, I thank you for each and every one that is here. I thank you that you can take these humble words. Receive by faith unto transformation. God, we give you thanks today for the power of your word in our hearts, the result of it being in our mouths, and the end result, your goodness upon our lives. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen, every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. If you're in here today, right where you're sitting, I will not call you out. I will not call you up here. I will not embarrass you. I promise you, but I would like to pray with you as soon as we dismiss in worship. If you're here this morning and you've never confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've never entered into a walk with Him, salvation, I would love to be able to pray with you. If that's you here today, would you slip everybody? I don't even want our ushers. I got it covered right now in this room, even our ushers. I want these people to feel totally secure. If you're in here today and that's you, would you slip your hand up very quickly and put it back down so I can see? I'd love to pray with you. Anybody like that hint in here at all? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jordan. Anybody in here at all? Saints praying? Father, we thank you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Would you stand together with us as we're dismissed? You glad you came to church today? You got something you can live on this week? You got something you can fight on this week? Not fight about, fight with. On. Amen. Praise the Lord. All over the room, let's lift our hands one more time. Jesus, we love you. We honor you. We receive your word. We receive the transformation that happens as a result of it. And Father, I thank you that my future is bright because of you. More than a conqueror, from glory to glory. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. God bless you as you go. Be friendly to one another. Don't be in a hurry to get out. Say hello to one another. Those who want to hang and just worship, altars are open. We'd love to be able to pray for you if you have a need. Our prayer team is here to help agree with you. In Jesus' name. God bless you and have you a wonderful week. In Jesus. Here comes the rain. Yeah.